This episode of WDW Today is being sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And I'll tell you, you know, it's time to get back down to Walt Disney World again. I know. Listen to podcasts, reading blogs, checking out the crowd calendar. You know what? Let's plan a trip to Walt Disney World. And who better to book a trip with than MEI and Mouse Fan Travel? They're here to help you get a great deal. Make sure that your trip this year, next year, whenever you're booking your trip, is going to be the perfect trip in terms of taking care of everything along the way. In fact, they're a fee-free agency. That means that Disney pays them, not you. You literally got nothing to lose, everything to gain. Check them out right now at mousefantravel.com. We're also being sponsored by All Star Vacation Homes. And I'll tell you, when I'm talking about the perfect kind of vacation, well, you know what? I'm telling my MEI Mouse Travel agent, please book me something at All Star Vacation Homes because they have such amazing homes at All Star Vacation Homes. I mean, just really the kind of places that, frankly, I would love to live at, let alone vacation at. And there's just so much space, so many great amenities. And for when you're traveling with either large families or groups, it's just the way to do it because that way you're all under one roof, but yet you all have your own personal space. It's not like you're all being crammed into some small little room somewhere and paying the comparable price for it. No, All-Star Vacation Homes, you pay a similar price for that cramped room, but instead you get tons of room, tons of great amenities. Check them out right now, AllStarVacationHomes.com. Sorry, I'm so excited about touringplans.com, our next sponsor, because you know what? They've got some great services that you really need to check out the next time you go to Disney World. I mean, you know, we'll talk about on this podcast all about some great strategies and ideas for and how to tackle the parks. But at the end of the day, we all use touringplans.com to help us get around the parks and make sure we're not waiting in line. I mean, there's just it's a basic science. You're either waiting in line or you're not waiting in line. And touringplans.com has the tools that you need to avoid waiting in line. And we have a special discount code just for our podcast listeners. That's right. If you use discount code ZUZU2015, ZUZU2015, you will save a great deal on your next touringplans.com subscription. Check them out right now, touringplans.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Wednesday, March 4th, 2015, and this is episode 1450 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudiosCentral.com and RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. Joining me in today's show is Mike Scopa, a co-host of the Mickey Miles podcast. Welcome to the show, Mike.
I saw it with me own two eyes.
Pirates.
Nope.
The Pirates Adventure thingy that you like to quote.
What is it called?
I don't
the
know.
The judges want an official name.
A Pirates Adventure.
Treasure of the Seven Seas. The point goes to Mr. Testa.
I played that this weekend.
See, Len, I like to think of that as back in the day. Oh, I can't think of the point guard's name. Who would give an alley-oop to Hakeem?
Kenny Smith.
There you go. I'm the Kenny Smith to your Hakeem Olajuwon.
It's wonderful.
Speaking of Hakeem, it's Len Testa, co-author of The Adventure Guide to Walt Disney World, and he's also the host of the Disney Dish with Jim Hill podcast. Come on, show, Len.
How's it going, man?
Outstanding. And Len, we're going to talk about in this episode here about your trip to Walt Disney World. I'm just curious, though, did you fly or drive?
Drove.
So now, when you drove, at any point during the ride, did you look over to Laurel, who I'm assuming was sitting next to you, and say, "I can barely see the road from the heat coming off of it."
Oh, Laurel didn't actually go. We didn't have time to
bring her
to get to her.
I'm leaving now. I can't wait.
We're never gonna make it. We went around for everyone. we didn't have time to get a cat sitter, and so Laurel volunteered to stay behind. So it was a father daughter ship, Hannah and I.
Oh, okay, nice. All right, that's good because the next lyric in that is not appropriate for your daughter. So that's good. All right, awkward. Also joining us on today's show is Mike Newell, Mouse World Radio Show. Mike,
you need a cat sitter for 3 days,
and a dog sitter too. We had a dog.
Oh, dog. Okay.
It was
too much. Cat, I would have.
Cat would have been fine for 3 days. The cat would be like, "Oh, you left?
I'm getting on a couch. Getting on a couch."
Nice. On today's show, we're actually talking about Len's recent trip to Walt Disney. I really love hearing about what's new, what's different, what Len tried. In fact, for those of you who don't follow Len on Twitter, think to yourself right now, if I were Len Testa and I had not been to a sit-down restaurant since 2013. Which one would I choose my first restaurant to go to?
No one had this.
Think,
right?
Think about it for a long time. Well, we'll get to that point, but Lennon's going to tell you what he decided was his first restaurant to go to.
So here's what happened. So we got a snowstorm Wednesday night in Greensboro, and 5 to 8 inches of snow. And around they canceled school like Wednesday at 9 a.m. for Thursday. So we knew Thursday there wasn't going to be any school. But Thursday around 10 a.m., they canceled school for Friday, too. So it took me about 3 hours to finish up my work, and I looked at Hannah, and we looked at Laurel. I'm like, we should go to Walt Disney World. We can be there by, 1 a.m., and, we'll come back Sunday. So we'll have all day Friday, all day Saturday there. We'll ride some rides. We won't do any research or anything like that. It won't be a work trip, but because I'm going on a work trip next week. But, we'll just go down. And we'll have fun. It'll be fun. So we got a room at Pop for $127 a night, and I rented a Mazda MX-2. Do you guys know what this is?
No Miatas available.
So I had never seen an MX-2. I will tell you about the MX-2, but I got it for like $67 for the weekend. Unlimited mileage, so 4 nights. So I paid $13 a day for it, plus tax. So Laurel volunteered to stay behind because we couldn't get a pet sitter. So it was a father-daughter trip. So Hannah gets in the car. She was super excited to go. We hop in the car, and we start driving. And the first thing I realized, so we drive from Greensboro to Charlotte, which is like 90 miles. And the car started off with a full tank of gas. And at Charlotte, which is 90 minutes into the trip, we're more than halfway down on the tank of gas. And then I realized the MX-2 has an 8-gallon or a 9-gallon fuel tank. And it is not a super high MPG car. We're getting about 27 miles a gallon, which means that I need to stop for gas roughly every 200 miles.
Wow.
Florida is 654 miles from my house to Pop Century, which means I have to stop like 5 times.
Wow. Their Prius is passing you.
Yeah, I stopped at 90 because I figured the car wasn't completely full, and it is a tiny car. And the other thing is the wheels are so small on it. We're being passed by everything. I mean, grandmother's walking. I actually have Hannah get out her iPhone, and we time a mile with me trying to go a certain speed to make sure that the speedometer was correct. Because I'm like, we cannot be doing – the speedometer says we're doing 80 miles an hour. We're getting passed by everything. We're getting like 8 miles a year. This car's getting nothing in terms of gas mileage. We're not – something's wrong here. So, but eventually we get in. So we get routed around Orlando traffic. There's traffic even at midnight. But we get into Pop Century, which we got on an AP rate. We get into Pop Century at like 1 o'clock in the morning. Everything was fine. By the way, a shocker here. I could not make reservations the first 5 times I attempted through my Disney experience. The app crashed. It kept saying that there were errors.
No.
It showed you that. Yeah,
it showed
me that. I know. It showed me that picture with Stitch saying, oh, no, someone ate the page. So I wasn't able to link any of my magic bands in. That didn't work out. So they had to give me new magic bands, which I got when I got there. And then because concierge was closed at 1 o'clock in the morning when I arrived, they couldn't transfer everything over to my other magic bands at the time. But we stayed at Pop. It was nice. Got up that morning, went to Magic Kingdom. And first thing we noticed was that they had opened up both sides of the new central hub, the Fastpass viewing area for fireworks.
Oh, yes.
And it's really pretty. I thought I wasn't going to like it, but it fits in really well with the Main Street theme. It's got the turn of the century architecture on it. The grass is super soft. There were people just running around on a barefoot. The one thing I would say, there's a left side and a right side. The left side is sort of in front of Casey's Corner and Crystal Palace. The right side is in front of the plaza and those bathrooms.
Yep.
The left side looks like it has more tall light riggings. On, I guess, for parades or some other stuff, maybe some effects. So if you're getting fast passes, to watch it, or you have the choice of watching it on the left side or the right side, the right side is going to be better, I think, for watching wishes and fireworks and parades and stuff like that. So I think that's going to be the better side. But it had literally just opened up when we got there on Friday because the suits were still walking around it. After the opening when we were there. Like, we got there in the morning and it wasn't open. And then a couple hours later, it was still there. It was open.
But we played a Pirate's Adventure in Adventureland for the first time. We also got fast passes for, this is interesting. So I made fast passes at 8 a.m. that day for Space, Splash, and Big Thunder Mountain. It turns out we didn't actually need the Splash Mountain fast pass. If you guys saw my Twitter feed, you saw my tweet that said, oh, good thing we fast passed this 0-minute wait on Splash Mountain because it was like 55 degrees and raining. and so we didn't need to fast pass it. But
so real quick, Len, sorry, going back to the hub. The changes here for people to kind of visualize, these are the changes that if you're looking at the castle, if you're standing in front of the castle behind you, essentially, right? Like closer to like Crystal Palace, that's the changes?
Yes. Yeah. So or where the waterway used to be.
Okay. They, yeah. Yeah.
Sort of paved over that. Yeah.
So basically from like Tomorrowland Terrace, curving around all the way to Crystal Palace.
Yeah. It looks really nice. I mean, very pretty. They put fountains in. They landscaped it. They have little walkways. It looks like a, you know, almost like a proper English garden without the hedges. But I really liked it. Yeah, of the English, yeah, exactly. But I really liked it. I didn't think I was going to like it. I thought it was going to be too Spartan, too paved, too concrete. But it's a nice green area. Really, really like it a lot. I think they did a very, very good job on it.
And this is just like a phase one, right? This isn't like completely finished.
Yeah, so the actual central hub itself, where the partner statue used to be, that's all still dug up. It's all still construction. And they're going to continue working on that.
Cool.
We went to Pecos Bill's. I think I tweeted this out. I had the chili cheese fries. Here's the interesting thing. They put the chili on the fries, and then they tell you the cheese is behind you at the fixin' stations. I'm like, well, then it's really chili fries with the fixin' station. I mean, because at that point, why don't you call them chili cheese mushroom fries? Because the mushrooms are also.
You know, Pecos Bill's has a history of lying to their customers. I mean, after all, the taco salad had no salad in it. It was just a taco bowl with meat, and you had to go provide your own salad.
The other thing that was amazing to me, so we went to lunch at noon, which it's, you know, crowded time. But a little bit of a wait to get in, and from the time that we waited to get in to the time we waited to place our order to pick up the food was 20 minutes. And this was not a particularly crowded day. I mean, it was average overall.
Wow.
20-minute wait. Yeah, it's kind of amazing. We played some Pirate's Adventure. We rode Space Mountain. We tried to walk back along the new arcades that are the new walkways behind the Magic Kingdom.
Yep.
We had Main Street that were open, but they were closed. Actually, so we didn't get a chance to walk on them. Also, you guys will be shocked to know that Hannah, the teenager, forgot to pack anything for cold weather. So I ended up buying a $100 $100 jacket. Yes.
Not again.
Yes. $100.
Three for three.
Forget? I think not.
Man.
No sweater. You went straight for the jacket.
Well, it was raining, so she needed something that was going to be waterproof because we were going to wear it for 2 days. And Saturday it rained all day. So
I hope she enjoys wearing this to her 10-year school reunion.
Prom. Yeah. Funny story. Yeah. So we did that and then went back to the hotel for a nap, and then we went to Epcot in the evening. So we got there around 7 p.m. So first stop there was we started there, I guess, about 8:30. First up was La Cava before it closed. So you always remember your daughter's first experience in a tequila bar. That was fun. I had a really, really good Grand Patron Bordeaux Añejo. It's really smooth, sort of caramely, not very spicy, aged tequila. It was lovely. Had some chips. It was funny. We walked in, and Hannah's never been there before. And one of the wait staff looked at me and said, "Hey, long time no see." And Hannah's like, "Really?" Parenting moment right there. So that was good. Then we went there. But the amazing thing we did, once Extra Magic Hour started, we went to the Seas. And we did the Seas with Nemo and Friends, which was fine. There was no wait. There was literally no one in front of us. We got to walk through the entire queue without having people behind us and rushing us. But we got to see the Seas with no one in it. And I got these amazing photos of Hannah, you know, up against the glass with all of these fish gliding by. So stingrays and, you know, really big fish and stuff. It was really, really great to see that exhibit without anyone else, you know, anywhere nearby. It was really, really a lot of fun just to feel like you had the whole place to yourself. That was a blast.
Yeah, it's not bad, especially late at night. The only problem with late at night is that I'm, in my experience at least, the dolphins aren't out.
The dolphins were not out. That's correct.
Yeah. So and I think they darkened the manatee tank as well.
Manatees were out, and that was
really thing. Yeah.
There, two manatees were just playing around.
Wow.
And so there were a couple of us at the manatees, but again, it wasn't a huge crowd, and they were so close.
Cool.
And just, you know, and very active too for manatees. It was really a good experience. I really liked it a lot. Then we went from there. We went over to Living with the Land, to the boat ride, and they actually have a couple of new exhibits. They have a bunch of new plants, but they've also got a new growing technique called low and lean, I believe. So they're doing it with the tomatoes, and the idea is that they take the vines and prune away most of the leaves.
Okay.
But they take the vines themselves and keep them all low to the ground, I guess for maintenance, to keep the, you know, the, to be able to keep the bugs and stuff off. So, you know, sometimes they train the vines on the tomatoes to go up into the canopy.
Right.
With those twine support or rope support or whatever. This one they were keeping all low to the ground. And these, some of these tomato vines were, you know, like as thick around as, like, you know, 2 or 3 of your fingers. I mean, they were big, thick vines. So it's apparently a new, some sort of new growing technique. But I noticed a few new plants, which now I can't remember, at the land. But it was neat because it was dark.
I still think the pinnacle of achievement in terms of trying to do, give food to plants, sort of a, you know, recyclable, renewable way, is of course the plants that feed off the poop from the fish underneath them.
Oh yeah, it's the hybrid thing. It's like symbiosis, but not
yeah. that is science right there.
Yes, that was cool. So we and then Saturday night, we had dinner. So this is where I ended my 13-month no sit-down table Silverstone Meals thing. It ended up being at Nine Dragons.
Yeah.
Why?
Because Hannah wanted Chinese food. So basically this trip, I did pretty much whatever Hannah wanted to do. It was fine.
Oh, that was like that time, Newell, that Hannah dictated the terms of our World Showcase Food and Wine Festival adventure.
Yeah. I still have the notes from that, funnily enough.
When did the drought at Nine Dragons?
Wow.
My choices were...
I lost a pool.
Yeah. My choices were Nine Dragons or what's the quick service place?
Oh, Tangerine...
China. Whatever it is.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Blossom something?
Lotus Orange Blossom
Cafe.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was that or that. So neither of those worked. Wow. Then Saturday we woke up early and went to the Animal Kingdom in the rain. And So going back, leaving Epcot, this was hysterical. A bus, we were at Pop Century. So a bus from Pop pulls up and it's completely full. And there's like 15 people left over. And they're all standing around, like all sort of grousing. The Pop bus driver tells them, look, another bus will be by within 20 minutes. And they're all like, you know, grousing, oh, it's 20 minutes and now we're going to wait and it's raining. Yada, yada. Meanwhile, there's this completely empty bus going to Art of Animation next door. So I tell Hannah, I'm like, let's get on that bus. So we walk over, get on that bus, walk across the bridge. It took 6 minutes. We timed it. We walk across because we knew how the resorts were constructed, we just decided to do that. So that's, we got good. Home a little early. Yeah.
It was nice. I guess I'm not sure if all the parks have their buses so close together. The Pop Century and Art of Animation ones that you could be able to, like, you know, literally jump off one line, hop in the other one that quickly.
Yeah, I don't think it would have worked. It may have worked at the Magic Kingdom too. I don't remember where Art of Animation was, but I think Art of Animation is like two down.
Okay.
At Pop, but yeah, it worked out really well. And the bus service was great the entire time we were there. I don't think we waited more than 10 minutes for any bus. Saturday morning we went to Animal Kingdom, so we got there at 10 and we were done by 12:30. So I saw. Got in. We had fast passed Everest, Festival of the Lion King, and Kilimanjaro Safaris. But when we got there was only a 10-minute wait for Kilimanjaro Safaris. So we just walked onto that and didn't wait around for our fast passes. Then we went and saw the new Lion King in Africa, and that's a really nice setup. I it's a strange show though. It's not one of my favorites. There's all that audience participation.
I hate that show. I found it so boring.
You know, and it's not my thing, but no. I get it.
Yeah,
I get how people get. And we were the giraffe section, and you know, everyone's supposed to make noise.
Yep.
No one knows what a giraffe sounds like. So that didn't work out well.
Yeah.
If they would have told you, if they would have said, like, you know, pretend you're one of Elton John's pets. I could have that I could have used my imagination on, but you know, you tell me, what does a giraffe sound like? I'm blanking on that. So then we eat lunch at Pizzafari. Ask me why.
Why?
As I texted you, Len, I was wondering if you give up fun for Lent.
Yeah, I know, right? Why? So I don't know what we were thinking. We were on that side of the park when Hannah got hungry. We should have gone to Yak and Yeti and didn't. And we also did not go to Royal and Empor Tea Company and get pastries the size of my head, which we totally should have done. But so we eat pizza, which was not great. I swear to God, I'm never eating there again. Swear to God. And we go to, oh, they start serving pizza at 10:30 too. We got there like at 10:35, figuring that you know, it's like McDonald's.
That was your first clue that it was going to be good.
Yeah.
Well, they have a breakfast. They had the bounty platter. I'm like, oh, I could go for a bounty platter, right? I mean, how many of our listeners right now that I've said bounty platter, how many of them are saying, I can kind of go for a bounty platter?
Sure. Sounds good.
Anyway, so we eat this pizza, and then we go on Expedition Everest in the rain, I might add. And that was a lot of fun, though. So that was good. Then we did we walked around for like 10 more minutes, decided that we were done because the rain started to rain a little bit harder. We did one of the nature trails. We did both sides of the oasis. We called it a day. But walking out, it was this steady stream of people walking out all in white ponchos, and there were literally five people walking into the park. Like at that particular rate of flow, no one was going to be left in the park in an hour. It was that funny. So went back to the hotel, took a nap. We were going to go to the studios, but we woke up at 6:30 and the studios closed at 7. So instead we went to Downtown Disney. So I got to walk around the new Downtown Disney. Here's the thing that I don't understand. How can you build a parking garage and still screw up the traffic pattern at Downtown Disney? It is the parking garage has done literally nothing to benefit Downtown Disney. It is parking is still a process. It still sucks. Other than going vertical, I don't know what problem the parking garage has solved.
Was it slow just getting in? Is that
the traffic? Yeah, the traffic pattern. I guess when the traffic pattern is done, we should live so long. God bless us all. When the traffic pattern is done, it might be better. But it's this convoluted maze right now to get to the parking garage. Len. We ended up parking on level 4. Yes.
Listen to me. Just between you and me, no tell anyone this secret. But okay, from now on, do me a favor. Yeah. Do me a favor. You're my friend. I'll give you one of my secrets.
Uh-oh.
You park behind Cirque du Soleil. You will get like one of the first.
I tried to do that. They routed us to the parking garage. That's where I turned in. I turned in right before.
Did you mention my name?
No? I did.
That's why they sent them to the garage.
Yeah. No, that's why you took. Yeah, that's why.
I know. I totally should have done because
should have mentioned Newell's name. Then they would have, oh, right this way, Mr.
Yeah, they would have parked you in the Hess across the street.
Exactly.
So there was the left lane, I guess, if we happened to turn in and be in the right lane, and they routed us to the parking garage. The left lane went to behind Cirque du Soleil. So I guess if you're listening, stay on the left side of the lane, because if you go to the right, you're in the parking garage. Right. We ended up in and it was just this. Right. It looks like you're driving through Beirut. All the concrete is torn up, all the paper.
Oh my God!
There's signs everywhere. I mean, we ended up in the parking garage. And here's the other thing. So you know, they've got these fancy displays now that tell you how many spots are open on each level. So first level, everything was full. Second level, everything was full. We get to level 3. It says there's 147 open spots. I'm like, okay, we'll park in level 3. But the problem is that the cast members had put these orange cones up, I guess, when level 3 had got full and didn't take them down as cars had left. So there were these orange cones that were blocking you from turning into level 3, even though the signs said there were 147 open spots.
That's when, you tell Hannah, get out of the car, move the cones.
Move those cones. Yeah, move those cones. Exactly.
Yeah.
So we go to Downtown Disney. It's pouring rain. We stopped by Erin McKenna Bakery, saw Emily, who is has promised to be on the show as soon as she gets some time off. But that's really neat. They've got a nice little setup there now. Way more traffic.
Let me ask you this, Len. What in terms of the bakery, what kind of proximity do you have to freshly fried chicken?
Not nearly as close to freshly fried chicken.
Oh, no. Say it ain't so.
I know. So they're not mixing the vegan, gluten-free
with
kosher.
With Pollo Comparo.
Pollo Comparo. Dude, that was some good chicken. I don't care what anybody says.
I loved it.
If anybody from Pollo Comparo is listening, y'all have some good product right there. I really like the Pollo Comparo chicken. I actually found one in a mall. Was it Miami? somewhere, and I ate it just because I'm like, I like the spices of Pollo Campero. It's good stuff.
Good salads too.
Oh, and their fries, their spicy fries. Anyway, so we go there. We got some. You know what? They have a bunch of new things. So they're a bakery, right? But they've got these savory things now. So they've got a focaccia. They've got a savory scone. Oh, I think it was like dill or onion. And then they've got bagels. The bagels aren't really bagels to anyone who's lived in New York. But the focaccia, really good. The scone's really tasty. And they've got, you know, the traditional bakery things too, the cupcakes, the sweets, the donuts, and things like that. So that was all really nice. Looks really good.
Oh, I'm sorry. You mentioned Pollo Campero, so I typed it in. There's one near me now.
Is it really? You should totally go.
Spring Valley.
Wait, I don't think it's actually, and I said it, but it's, I don't think it's Pollo Campero. It was something else. Pollo Campero,
no,
is that?
Pollo Campero.
Was it Campero? I thought it was something else.
No.
Oh, I'm thinking Pollo Tropical. Never mind. I am correct the first
time. You're thinking Los Pollos Hermanos from Breaking Bad.
The Chicken Brothers.
Nice. So that was so then we went home, got up at 4 o'clock this morning, or yesterday morning, and drove home. Oh, also, so there's a 20-minute wait in the Magic Kingdom for Pecos Bills. So I decided I needed some coffee because I hadn't had coffee in 24 hours, so my head was throbbing. So we go to Starbucks. This is a 20-minute wait for Starbucks at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So I call up Fred. I'm like, we have to start modeling wait times at restaurants too, so we're working on that. We'll see what happens. Anyway, it was a fun trip. It was a lot of fun. We learned a lot about ourselves and each other.
And tequila.
In the parks. It was good. And tequila. Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's good stuff, and as always, interesting. I mean, I think the hub information certainly was.
The hub's great. Really pretty.
I can't. I want to know when the first time there's gonna be a brawl in there because somebody's laid out with a blanket and nobody can squeeze in.
It was true.
It's gonna be like Central Park.
It was, and there were people that were totally taking advantage of it. They were like doing, you know, grass angels. It was kind of neat.
That was good for them. They'll fill that in with concrete another year.
No, I don't think they will.
They won't let them on the grass, though. Will they?
Yeah. They're like having picnics on it already. It's
very pretty.
All right, let's answer some listener questions here.
Okay, all right.
All right, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta move your fingers while you do it.
That's right,
just read the questions, brother.
Hey, brother. All right, Jack. We're a family. First email's from Victor Klamaski.
Hey,
we're
Victor.
A family of four.
Hey, yo.
What you going to do when we answer your question, Victor?
We're a family of four with two boys, ages 7 and 11. We make annual trips to Disneyland California Adventure. We're making our first trip to Disney World. With all the closures, we're wondering if Hollywood Studios is worth a day. No. Most of the attractions we can ride here are in Southern California. We would substitute Hollywood Studios with the second day in Epcot or run over to Universal.
First time at the studios after being through California Adventure? Oh, the humanity.
Is it worth $100? No.
Oh, my God, no.
I wouldn't do it.
I guess if you want to go for maybe the Great Movie Ride.
You're going for the Great Movie Ride in Rock and Roll.
And a better Tower of Terror, by the way.
Yeah.
But is that worth $100 or even half a day?
It's different.
You go to Universal and see Barrack and Alley.
Yeah.
Well, there is also the best Tower of Terror at the studios of all
it is.
The Tower of Terrors in all the
it
world.
It is the best Tower of Terror. And Rock and Roller Coaster is a good ride. And a Great Movie Ride is unique. And you might want to even see it before it goes away. But that's it, bro.
That's it.
Is that worth – how many days are they going, Matt?
I don't know. I deleted the email already.
That's probably a $50 or $60 ticket if they go for 3 or 4 days. It's not worth it, man.
No.
Need
to say.
All right. Next email.
I mean, look at the Disney's. I mean, over this weekend, the park closed, the studios closed at 7 every night because there's nothing to do there. I know it hurts you, but it'll be better.
Haters gonna hate. That's all I'm saying. Next email is from Erica Bartel of Newburgh, Indiana. I was unaware of room upgrades until a couple of years ago when I heard Len speak of them on the podcast. Once I learned of them, I began asking at check-in if there were any free room upgrades available. I would pose this question when staying on cash or DVC points as I'm a DVC member. The cast member would always inform me that he or she would have to make a call to find out if there are any available. The cast member would make a call and then tell me what the room signer said. I have received two upgrades staying on cash and one upgrade staying on points. During the most recent visit to Disney World in October 2014, I inquired into a free room upgrade when checking into Kidani Village. The cast member asked me if I was staying on points, which I had said I was. He told me that they, quote-unquote, were cracking down and giving upgrades to guests staying on points. He seemed unwilling to make the call to find out, so I asked him if he would please call and ask. He said he would. Upon making the call, the first question asked by the person on the other end of the line was if I was staying on points. The cast member answered with a yes. The upgrade was denied. I was surprised to hear that Disney is no longer giving upgrades to guests staying on points. If there were no rooms available for upgrade, then I understand. But if there are simply empty rooms, why would Disney deny a guest the magic of being upgraded simply because they are staying on points? Am I missing something? I would appreciate the thoughts of WDW Today.
Well, I'm thinking if you're not staying on points and you're paying cash and they give you an upgrade, they could say, we might get this person to buy DVC. Maybe.
I also think if you are upgrading from a studio to a one bedroom, the room is much more bigger to clean.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, first of all, you have to understand, it's an upgrade. They don't have to give you an upgrade. Nobody has to give you an upgrade, ever. It's a perk. You know, it's just something nice they can do. And now, why they're cracking down on it, I guess the issue is why they're cracking down on people versus, you know, who are staying on points versus cash. I mean, do we think that people that pay cash, there's more revenue in the short term, I guess?
Let me ask Len this. Len, would you say, do you have any free upgrades, or would you just ask, do you have any upgrades?
Do you have any upgrades?
Right, because then they can come back and say, well, we have this upgrade, but it's going to be $50 more a night.
Yeah, and so that's what I've done in the past, too. So, you know, asking for free things is a more difficult conversation for the cast member than being able to negotiate stuff, especially if you've got somebody who's directly responsible for financials, like an assistant manager or a manager. You know, if you say, the upgrade is, you know, let's say the upgrade is $60 or $80 or $100 a night. If you offer them half of that,
right,
they are perfectly capable of taking that offer.
Huh.
Right? Now, your offer could be declined, right? But
it's less likely.
You could always just pay for whatever the rate is, but you know, you could always offer half.
I do think, though, it's smart to at least ask. There's nothing wrong with asking. The worst I can tell you is no.
I think it's appropriate to ask. And then, you know, if they tell you what the rate is, say that, you know, that seems a bit pricey, but,
right,
you know, I really only want to eat there for breakfast. How's, you know, and maybe grab a couple of drinks. And then how's 50, you know, can I get it for $50 a night? Again, it's additional revenue, right, for them. So,
and it shows that you're offering something in return. So,
yeah, again, I tell people this all the time, you know, please and thank you go a long way.
Absolutely.
With anyone. Yeah.
Next, we have an email from Blaze from Pittsburgh. Hello, Matt, Mike, Len. Len, heard about your underwear and know what you mean. Feel your pain.
What?
Okay.
Okay, well, moving on.
Thank you.
6 months until training camp. My wife and I went to the world for the last week in September and really liked the way that we entered the park at Epcot, the studios, and Animal Kingdom. No pre-show limited the stampede to the rides by letting you into the parks piecemeal at the gates. For slow walkers like us, it was very relaxing. We usually arrive 45 to 60 minutes before park opening, and we're able to make our to the first ride as one of the first dozen there. My only hope is that they figure something out for the Magic Kingdom. I notice that less people are watching the show and start crowding the gates. My thought is to move the ticket gates under the train platform and start letting people in to start the show. Any thoughts?
Oh, so do the show from the other side?
I guess so. I don't think it's going to do anything. I don't think it's going to solve the problem. Right.
Yeah. One of the advantages of having the turnstiles where they are is you get some people through.
Right.
And you can hold them.
But not where the park is open. Right. They could do that. So. I kind of see it. Yeah.
Blaze has some observations to share with us. Real quick ones here. Saw our first couple of drunks at Epcot and Food and Wine. One blowing major chunks on the path next to Epcot, and the other being escorted out by security. Never saw that during the couple of weeks we always go between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yep, that's your $100 a day right there.
Ellen fighting the big snake was gone on Energy Adventure.
What?
No!
Wow.
So.
Oh, boy.
Greatly missed the showcase players in England.
Yeah. Yep.
Rest in peace. Another great lunch at Sanaa.
Heck yeah.
Almost went to Sanaa with my dinner instead of Nine Dragons. Totally should have gone.
I don't know you anymore.
I know, right? It's like I don't even know you anymore.
Missed the second sighting of the Carnosaur when the pic was taken on the right side of the vehicle.
Ah, a dinosaur.
I don't know. I can't. My eyes are closed the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the new food and pastry place at the back of France. Len, you're a fan.
Yeah, yes. Boulanger Patisserie. Yeah, very good. Yeah.
First Halloween party, liked it.
Good.
And as always, thanks for keeping the magic alive. Len, come to Pittsburgh. I may break down and take you to a game if you take me to the Poly. I think it's a fair trade, and I'm talking a two-bedroom.
Yeah, $3,000. I think I might be able to play a wide receiver for that kind of money.
Mike, hope to see you on the train. Next, we have an email from Disney Karen. Just a comment regarding the refillable mugs. We found it very cost-effective on our last day at Jumbo House. It isn't far to get to the Mara if you're staying in Jumbo House, and we really got our money's worth. We got the length of stay as we were there for 8 nights. It could be used for soda, coffee, tea, including tea bags and hot water, and hot chocolate mix and hot water. We used it every morning for breakfast, 2 coffees for me and 2 diet sodas for the husband, and then carried it along the way during the day. It can be used at any time during the resort, so if you were passing through any of them, you can get a beverage there as well. Also, I can understand the reason that you're going to only one podcast per week, but since I'm an insomniac, I really do miss having them more often. Thanks for all you do. You know, the drink mugs, I think, aren't it's not that they're not a – I don't think they're a terrible value. I think it's just, you know, hard to get your money. You just have to make sure you make an effort to go get them there because you can't use them in the parks. But, hey, if you're in the resorts a lot – and I like the tip, by the way, about passing through the resorts. You know, like if you're – this usually happens around Epcot a lot, right, because you're going, you know, through the boardwalk or, you know, the yacht club or something like that, and it's easy to grab something there, especially maybe you're going between Epcot and the studios. So that can be a good tip there as well. Next, we have an email from Christina in Kentucky. In 2013, we stayed at the Wilderness Lodge and were part of the Magic Band test. Now we're planning on going in October 2015, staying at Shades of Green, no new Magic Bands. Mm-hmm. When we link our tickets to the My Disney Experience, will we be able to use our old Magic Bands in the parks? My main concern is battery life. I'm thinking of getting Memory Maker, but it's my understanding that if the battery is dead, then the active RFID used for ride photos won't work, even if the passive RFID works to get into the parks. Is there any way to test the battery of an old Magic Band?
Not without a reader of some kind. No, I don't know. Mine, that's a good question. They're 2 years. You know, they say that the battery's 2 years. My sense is it's going to be longer than that. So,
can you just scan it at the front gate, and if it gives you an error message?
Yeah, then... I mean, you would know. Yeah,
exactly. Right.
Well, no, she's saying that it's the active versus passive, that it might work with passive but not with active because of the battery. I would go to guest relations if you're that concerned about it. Wouldn't they be able to tell?
Yeah, guest relations would tell you, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it should be part of the app soon, too. Part of the My Disney Experience app in the spring. I've heard that they're going to add a battery section to it.
Will we be getting notices which ones are going to no longer work?
Probably not. I think for most guests, the majority of people there who have Magic Bands, I mean, they're just gonna, they're not like us that have gotten eight
That's
pairs
true.
Already,
That's
right?
Mm. Yeah,
I don't think it's a real world problem. I think it's a Disney nerd podcast problem.
True.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting because I mean, I think they got to wait probably another year. You'd think, right? Because that'll really be like when really the bulk of them will start to be in that phase. Perhaps they'd have something along those lines, but. I don't know. You're talking about like a recall kind of thing, right, Mike?
Well, no. They'll probably just – well, yeah. You can't really just throw them out because of the battery. Maybe they'll tell you to bring them down and they'll – or maybe they'll send you some sort of mailer and you can mail them back to be recycled. Because you can't just throw them in the garbage, right, Len? I mean, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, that would be bad. I would never do that.
Oh, Matt's done it already, I could tell. Get rid of this, honey. You don't need this.
Out of sight, out of mind. Next email is from Claire from the UK. Your podcast and unofficial guide have helped keep me up to date in planning trips over the past few years.
Yay.
I'm hoping to convince my boyfriend that a trip to the world in September or October is a great idea and hoping to stay on property. Thinking of staying at one of the all-star resorts. Would there be any events that would cause there to be large groups staying at the resorts like the cheerleaders? Would you choose sports or music? Thanks for all the hard work. Hopefully, Matt can learn to do a new British accent.
Hello, Gunnar.
Music.
Music. Yeah, music's the less likely of the sports teams, right?
Yeah, definitely. And then, movies, actually, if you could do it, it's not that much more expensive. It's only a couple dollars more expensive than sports or music. And that's movies is less likely than the other two to have large conventions.
Music? Blimey. That sounds lovely, Governor.
Crikey, mate.
Oh, I fancy me a stay at the All-Stars. Did I?
Have you guys seen the show episodes? It's on Showtime. Nope. There's a TV producer who hires this British couple to write a TV series for them, and the TV producer greets them in this Matt Hochberg-esque British accent and saying every time he sees them, and every time I look at him, I'm like, oh, Matt.
You sound like you're from London.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Oh, my God.
By the way, the other question that Claire had was about events at the All-Stars that would cause great groups in September or October. Thankfully, that is not cheerleading season. That's more in the spring.
We used to have someone on the show that used to tell us that.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name.
No.
I don't remember that.
No.
Andy?
Allie?
Is it Andy?
Allie? No.
Nettie?
I don't know.
Hey, Nettie.
But I don't think – I can't – it's not Pop Warner. That's in December.
Yeah.
I think September – actually, September – it kind of depends when you're going because September is a lot lighter in terms of crowd than October is. But that being said, I really can't think of any events that would have something like that.
I don't think cheerleaders would be down there during the football season.
No, I think they're there again. I think they're there. Their season, quote unquote, in Disney World is like from December through April, and that's like their. Yeah, that's when you start seeing the huge tent in the studios and in the studios parking lot. That is, and you know, they're all over the place, but not so much in the fall. So,
I think Annie, was it Annie? What's her name?
Redhead, right? Yeah.
She didn't really make much of an impact on us, I guess.
Oh.
Nope.
Ow.
Ooh.
Well, I don't remember who it was, so I don't know who I'm insulting.
Wow.
Too bad I missed the soldiers that used to follow her.
Wow.
Next email is from Matt from Ontario, Canada. I'll be in the world at the end of February for 3 nights at Coronado Springs and then a 4-night cruise on the Wonder out of Miami. It'll be my wife and I and my wife's sister and her husband. We're leaving the 5 guys at home. Shh. We are renting a car and driving ourselves, and we're wondering if any of you have done this drive and would have any tips or tricks on the best route or a toll-free route, how to avoid traffic, etc. It'll be a Wednesday morning, and we'll leave the resort around 7 a.m. Thanks in advance. Love listening to the show from up here in Canada.
Was that like a four or five-hour drive?
It's not more than four. I mean, with traffic, that's an issue. I think it's about 3.5 if you had no traffic. But again, but they want to avoid tolls because the fastest way from Orlando is to take the Florida Turnpike, which is a toll road, and just take that straight down. The Turnpike passes through Orlando, so you hop right on, and then it just brings you all the way. It's a straight shot. Otherwise, the freeway I can think of off the top of my head, you could take actually 192 all the way to 95, which will take you about an hour or so. Because once you get out past Kissimmee, it becomes like a highway. It's not the little small, like, little road that it is in Kissimmee, but you can make good time there, and then you hit 95 and then straight down the coast, and that's easy. I don't think I would go the other way, which is to take like I-4 back up to like Tampa and then to
no, it's a waste of time.
Yeah, well, no, so that'll be the you could also take the B-line, which is 528, but that's toll road as well, so that's not gonna, if you're gonna take a toll road, you should take the Turnpike. So it's really either take 192 over to 95 or you take the Turnpike and pay the money. So, good luck, bro. All right, last question of the day, and that means I give Mr. Newell 3 emails to choose from. One gets read today. The two go back to the email queue to be answered later. You ready, Mike?
Yes.
Your options are, I wonder if you'd know, dinner show success, Indiana Jonesing and Kim Possible text alerts.
Let's go with I wonder if you know.
Last email of the day is from Steve from Reno, Nevada.
Yes.
Hi, guys. Hello, I had a question about the D23 Expo this year. I don't know if you guys cover it since it's on the West Coast. We don't. But I figured you'd have some sort of input. I'm planning my annual Disneyland trip for this August around the D23 Expo. I've never been to one, and since it's the 60th anniversary for the park, I suspect there'll be some pretty neat stuff there. Do you think it'd be worth the extra money to go for the 3 days? Maybe compare it to the Destination D events that happen in your area? Would that be worth going to more than a day or two? And do you guys know how much it increases the crowds? Any help is welcome, and I know it's a bit unconventional to ask about Disneyland stuff on a podcast clearly called Walt Disney World Today. Len, do you know if there's any impact from a crowd calendar standpoint that you could see from the D23 Expo in August?
No, I don't think so. Not really. It's not that many people.
Yeah. I haven't been. I don't think any of us have been to the D23 Expo.
Nope.
No.
No. So let's. Do you think it would be worth the extra money to go for 3 days? I mean, if you value it, if you think it'd be, you know, if you look at the events and you look kind of what they've done in the past, and if it's kind of your cup of tea,
I think you'd like to know what's there before you make that leap. You know, what are they going to have? What kind of events?
Yeah, they'll give you some idea of some of the events, but they like to keep a lot of it a surprise as well. But it's not just park stuff. So that's kind of a. I think it behooves you to be a fan not only of the parks but also a fan of the films and animation, like really every aspect of the Disney company. So like if you're like for myself, I'm a big parks fan. I really don't care so much about the movie. It's not that I don't care, but I'm not nearly as big of a fan of like the films or the music or what Disney XD is doing, or you know, it's like, okay, it's like a mild interest to me, but not on the same level. Whereas I know that like other people love, like, you know, they have a huge infatuation with all that kind of stuff, and they enjoy all aspects of it. Thus the event is definitely more up their alley. So I think it kind of depends. You have to understand that going into it in terms of what you're kind of interested to do. But from a crowd standpoint, Len, it sounds like it's not going to be much of an issue from Disneyland.
No, it doesn't seem like it's a big deal.
Okay, so no impact on there. Cool. Very good. Good luck, Stephen. That'll do it for us today. Don't forget that our episode has been sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And hey, if you're thinking about going, Steve, to D23 Expo, our friends at MEI and Mouse Travel have a great deal actually going on for people that want to maybe do a little D23, do a little Disneyland. There's a lot of great specials going on right now, and they can help you plan that perfect trip. Especially, honestly, if I were in your shoes, and I'm, you know, I know a lot about Disney World, not so much about Disneyland, I would go with someone who knows that stuff. They got expert agents over there who can lead you through the whole process and make sure you know what everything needs for a great trip over there. And check them out right now at mousefantravel.com. Also want to mention our other sponsor, which is, of course, All Star Vacation Homes. And you know, if you're going to be staying on the East Coast, you're going down to Walt Disney World, and you want a lot of space, but I want to pay a lot for it, which I think a lot of people out there. All Star Vacation Homes is the place for you. Man, they've got such great homes. You really need to check it out. Go to their website, allstarvacationhomes.com. Click around. Just go old school internet web surfing and just click, 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 and take a look at all the amazing photos. And it will be just awesome sauce when you check out what they've got over there. It's really impressive.
Awesome sauce.
The only person I know who does that is my sister, Julie.
What?
I guess I'm the only person who's watching daytime TV lately.
Yes, you are.
AllStarVacationHomes.com. Also, we're being sponsored by TouringPlans.com. And, you know, again, when you're in Disney World, picture this. You're in Disney World. You're in – insert your favorite park here. So for most of our podcast listeners, that'll be Disney's Hollywood Studios. And you're right in the middle of Hollywood Boulevard. Man, does it smell good there. And the music's playing. And it's like, yeah, man, this is awesome. I'm finally back. Oh, boy, I can't wait to go on my favorite rides. And then you look at the wait times. Oh, no. Because there's really long lines, like, everywhere. Because that's just how Disney World is these days. But there is a solution. There's a way around all of this. TouringPlans.com. That's right. Touring Plans has what you need to get around those long lines, see everything you want, and see. So that way, you'll have a great trip. You'll be the hero of your family because you'll be leading them in the direction of, hey, we are not going to go on the Great Movie Ride now. Nay, we will go on it later when it is much less of a wait. For I know for a fact there is a much shorter wait over yonder, Sunset Boulevard. Onward, family.
And, wow. Was that so hard of a promo to do? That's all I ask, really.
I'm just reading this off the paper, people. I don't make this up.
This is what he gave me. I don't know.
I got to work with the material I'm given.
The Oscars are over, Matt.
Check him out right now. TouringPlans.com. For Lon Testa, Mike Scopa, and Mike Newell, I'm Matt Hotchberg. We'll see you on the next
one. Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.